The House Judiciary Committee meeting this afternoon, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 293B. As you know, this bill was referred to the committee from the floor earlier this week. In front of us, we have the Dash B5 amendments, along with the B-engrossed version of the bill, which has been hand-engrossed, reflecting the B5 amendments. This bill, as you know, is a bill that amends the repeat property offender sentencing statute, and it creates not mandatory but presumptive sentences for repeat offenders convicted of various property-related crimes. I'm going to let counsel sort of discuss the bill briefly, and then I'm going to ask former Representative Kevin Mannix to come forward and address the committee for a few moments. Counsel?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm going to speak to the bill as you may consider amending it, and then talk about the bill as it came out of the Rules Committee. The bill that originally came out of the Senate amends the amendments to the repeat property offender sentencing statutes. That's ORS 137-717, which was originally drafted and enacted in the special session of 1996, creates 19-month presumptive sentence for repeat property offenders convicted of aggravated theft in the first degree, creates 13-month presumptive sentence for repeat offenders convicted of theft 1, burglary 2, criminal mischief 1, computer crime and forgery 1, changes the way prior offenses are calculated for the purposes of the statute, contains an operative date of July 1, 2003. The bill that you have before you as it came out of the House Rules Committee creates 24-month presumptive sentence for repeat offenders convicted of aggravated theft in the first degree, creates 18-month presumptive sentence for repeat offenders convicted of theft in the first degree, burglary in the second degree, criminal mischief in the first degree, computer crime, forgery in the first degree, or identity theft, modifies the way prior offenses are calculated for the purpose of the statute, refers the amendment, this whole bill, to the voters of Oregon. Both provisions would... one we have before us and the one that with the amendment would take effect July 1st, 2003. The original bill was sponsored by Governor Kitzhoff for the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission.
Thank you, counsel. Former Representative Mannix, do you wish to put some comments on the record?
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you for inviting me this afternoon. I must protest. I thought this was the confirmation hearing for the U.S. Attorney for Guam and the Northern Marianas, so I came appropriately dressed for that occasion.
We'd be happy to confirm you right now.
I did receive a phone call at home and managed to get over here without changing, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for my attire.
It's quite appropriate.
Well, actually, around 10 days before end of session, one must change, but that's another story. In all seriousness, Mr. Chairman, you do have in front of you what I said before the Senate at the time in terms of the Senate Judiciary Committee and in terms of the substance of the matter was a very good bill. That is, the version which passed the bill with a 30-0 vote was an excellent bill. Marvelous and serendipitous things happened to this bill in the House Rules Committee, which I thought made an excellent bill, a doubly excellent bill, but I also recognize that in the legislative process, one level of excellence is usually enough, and sometimes if you grasp for two levels of excellence, you may get none at all. The amendments which are proposed give the legislature and the governor an opportunity to take some serious action in regard to serious repeat property offenders and are most excellent, and I commend them to your consideration. Should you decide to not amend this bill and send it to the voters, that would be fine with me too, but I think the political realities are that you might run into some other difficulties on the House floor. And the question is whether or not the people would adopt the measure. I think they would, but one would have to have a debate there. I'm trying to be quick about my remarks, Mr. Chairman, but I do commend you for having evaluated this bill and for having come up with what I think is a very positive compromise solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Are there questions for Representative Mannix? Representative Ringo.
Mr. Chair, I guess I would like more background as to the compromise that he referred to. And if there's other witnesses that will speak to that, that's fine. But I'd like a little more background.
Sure. Perhaps I can clarify that for you, Representative. This bill came out of the Rules Committee as opposed to out of the Judiciary Committee. As it was coming through the process to the House floor, we got at least a preliminary fiscal on the bill as it was coming out of the Rules Committee that would put it somewhere around $6.7 million in the next biennium. I know that there were a number of people, including the governor's office and others, that were concerned about both the size of the fiscal and about the policy choices being made with the enhanced presumptive sentences in the bill. I sense that there might be a vote problem on the House floor, and ask that the bill be re-referred or referred to the Judiciary Committee for consideration. The House joined, I think, unanimously in that motion, and I've spent the last several days talking to the interested parties, including the governor's office, about what we might do with this bill. And the compromise that I believe Representative Mannix refers to would be the B-5s, which would reduce the presumptive sentences back down to the version of the bill as it emerged from the Senate Judiciary Committee, strip off the referral to the people, still have an 03 effective date because its fiscal now moves somewhere into the neighborhood of slightly more than $2 million in the 03-05 biennium. And then my work with the governor's office in getting an agreement from Governor Kitzhaber that he would, in fact, be willing to sign and support the bill in that form. So that describes, I think, the compromise. I also have a letter from the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee that I received this morning indicating that although he favored the bill as it came out of the House Rules Committee, he's agreeable given the signed letter from Governor Kitzhaber indicating that he would sign the bill. So that sort of completes the circle on the issues. So that's essentially, colleagues, what we have in front of us. And if there are other questions, Representative Ringo.
Mr. Chair, I assume that there was testimony somewhere along the way that Oregon does have a problem with repeat offenders of this sort. I mean, it says this in the statute summary, and I guess I'd like to hear 30 seconds on that, if I may.
I'm confident that Representative Mannix can provide that testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Ringo, we indeed have a serious problem with repeat property offenders in Oregon. According to the last uniform crime report from the FBI, Oregon has the eighth worst property crime rate in the United States. We've done very well in violent crime. We now are 28th from worst, meaning actually we're 22nd from best, if you prefer to look at it from the other side. But we have a very serious property crime rate, and the RAND Corporation studies have indicated that a significant portion of your serious property crime comes from repeat offenders who do offend and reoffend. And under the current sentencing guideline system in Oregon, they know that their presumptive sentence for any property crime is probation. Unless, as the legislature has done in specific instances, some sort of sanction is put into the system, given the amount of resources available, it's predictive that they will get probation under sentencing guidelines. There were instances testified to before the Senate where one person had 34 convictions and continued to receive probation. Finally, after the 34th conviction, the system finally decided there was time for a departure sentence of incarceration. The other side of all of this is that in terms of first-degree burglary and auto theft, when the legislature adopted some sanctions for repeat offenders, those crime rates went down. That is, you started pulling repeat auto thieves and first-degree burglars out of circulation, there was a definitive drop in the crime rate. The indication is that you would see the same if you did this with repeat offenders for these other serious property crimes.
Does that satisfy your questions, Representative?
Yes, it does. Thanks.
Representative Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mannix, I have a question regarding the impact on our existing prison debt space that this bill would have. Do you have any, projections on that and how it would impact our existing space? And, you know, do we have that available? Are we going to have to let other people go earlier to accommodate folks that will be affected by this bill?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dingfelder, actually, there's two impacts to consider. One is state prison space impact. The other is county jail space. The sentences that are proposed here for the repeat offenders will have a state prison space impact. They will actually have a positive impact on county jails to the extent that some judges have imposed short periods of jail time as a condition of probation. Those folks instead, as repeat offenders, will go straight to state prison rather than occupying any county jail space. So on the county side, there will be a positive impact, some reduction of use of county jail space. On the state side, if I extrapolate from a $2 million fiscal impact in the biennium, that's about $1 million a year. you could roughly divide that by the high figure, $25,000 per year for inmate. I'm doing that off the top of my head. I think we're talking 40 times 25,000. I'm trying to divide without a calculator here, without my zeros. I'm thinking that they must be talking about 40 inmates a year, and the state certainly has a physical capacity to accommodate that. Fiscally, in the next biennium, there would have to be an appropriation of additional funds to provide the officers who would provide the supervision and the supplies and all of that. So there's physical space. There will be a $2 million estimated fiscal impact for the state in the next biennium. The capacity is there. You will not be displacing any state prisoners to accommodate these prisoners.
Representative Lowe.
Thank you. Representative Maddox, as we contemplate that $2 million fiscal impact for the next biennium, I noticed that we have acted favorably on some measures that take a somewhat different approach to repeat drug offenders and are trying to address the criminal activities that they engage in, many of which are property crimes, in fact, the bulk of which are property crimes, through an alternative view, taking a different view of the repeat drug offender. Was that plan taken into account when they came up with the $2 million estimate?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lowe, I cannot tell you whether or not that plan was taken into account. However, that plan would reduce the fiscal impact if it is taken into account. If it's not taken into account, the $2 million figure would stand. I supported that other legislation which deals with repeat drug offenders, and I might note that over time you may well be reducing your repeat property offenders because some property crime is occasioned by those who are motivated to commit the property crime to get the money, to get the drugs, to feed the habit. And by separately interdicting those with a habit and providing them with a chance to deal with the problem, you do reduce some of the incidents of property crime. However, the worst of the repeat offenders are actually career property criminals. They've figured out that as long as they don't use a knife or a gun and threaten somebody, that there is a career that can be had. In fact, there was testimony in front of the Senate about how one prison inmate wrote to another, and the mail was intercepted, saying, the way to go is to make sure you're not threatening anybody and you're committing property crime because you know you'll get probation, and by the way, you won't get caught till the 40th offense anyway. There's a sort of a serendipitous interaction with that other legislation.
Further questions for Representative Mannix? Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you. I haven't heard the word serendipitous for a long time. It's nice that it's finally coming out.
for the two members who just arrived in this sort of the preliminary discussion, I sort of laid the groundwork for this bill being in front of this committee for the first time. Representative Ringo, we could have easily had Representative Wilson, who's the chair of the House Rules Committee, who took testimony on this bill, also share with you some of the testimony that I think was capsulized by former Representative Mannix as Representative Wilson presided over this bill as it came out of the House Rules Committee. I shared the B5 amendments. Representative Wilson and Shetterly are putting the bill back in the form that it came from the Senate and taking off the referral. And I also distributed to the committee for their review copies of a letter from the governor's office indicating that he would sign the bill in that form, and also a letter from Senator Minnis indicating that he would accept this as an agreeable solution given the governor's agreement to sign the bill. So those are the situation that we are in. It would be my, unless there's further discussion among the committee, based on the fact that we're going to need to be on the floor here momentarily, it would be the chair's intent to move the dash B5 amendments to Senate Bill 293.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Move the dash B5s in Senate Bill 293.
Representative Shetterly moves the dash B5s to Senate Bill 293. Is there discussion on the amendments?
Just one.
Representative Vicki Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to know if any of our usual cast of characters who appear on these matters had any opposition.
Well, I think there was opposition to the bill as it moved out of the House Rules Committee in the form that it was in. While I would suggest to you that there are people who probably still don't love this bill, I'm not seeing anybody indicating opposition to the bill at this point.
Okay. I see the cast of characters in the front row, and
they're all biting their tongues.
Yes.
On the right or the left?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly has moved the dash B5s. Any objection? Hearing none, the amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Move Senate Bill 293 as amended to the floor of the DuPass recommendation.
Representative Shetterly moves Senate Bill 293 as amended to the floor with a DuPass recommendation. Is there discussion on that motion?
Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Backlund?
Aye.
Representative Dingfelder?
No.
Representative Bingo?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Vicki Walker?
Aye.
Representative Goldstein?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lowe?
Aye.
Chair Wolf?
Aye. Senate Bill 293 is amended, moves to the floor with a DuPass recommendation. I'll assign myself the carrier. We're adjourned.
All right.